Yeah, I also want to take this time to wish every mother here a happy Mother's Day. Thank God for you. Come on, let's put our hands together for our mothers. You know, whether you are a natural birth, I mean, like, if you give birth or not, I believe every woman has the mother instinct. Now, I'm talking about women, natural birth women. You know, we know what a woman is. You know, our society is trying to redefine a woman, but a God-created woman, not someone who just chooses to be a woman. Whether you have kid on your own or not, happy Mother's Day, because you do have the mother instinct. You know, so I know some of you might be a hard day today because your natural birth mother wasn't necessarily a great mother, or maybe they've passed, you have great relationship with them, they've moved on. But I pray today that your life would be filled with love, whether from a spiritual daughter or a spiritual son. You know, sometimes we don't have physical babies, but we have spiritual babies. You know, so I honor you guys, ladies. Once again, today I'm protesting. I've had enough. I've had enough of being a bachelor. But they're on their way back. But, you know, I was thinking today, I'm like, she went on my phone and put everything I had to do, so my phone once in a while will ding. You do this. So even while she's gone, she's still bossing me around. Whoever came up with this happy wife, happy life, I say it works. I say it works. Because really, you know, we men, we like, we get the house going too. But man, I'm like, the lady, she's the heartbeat of the house. You know, and I pray you guys who have still have your wives at home, to honor them, to respect them, you know. So I had to do the floor a couple times this week because I had to. Man, you know what? I'm going to be more intentional not bringing my shoes from the outside, because that shows respect. And then the floor is dirty. I don't know. I don't know. It's just like the little things God is just teaching me again. Because this time she's gone for 2 weeks, and I had a list of things. Her garden, my goodness, oh Lord. Today I'm protesting, but it's been great, you know. So happy Mother's Day. So today I think this is the second time I'm gonna have Robert bring the word. Robert is a guy that we talk a lot during the week. I consider him as a friend. You know, Robert, when I first met him, I couldn't figure him out. But then the Lord says, give him room. You'll get him. And I did. And he's a teacher. He loves the Lord. He's not a pastor. You know, I honor his gifting. A pastor like me, I come across very gentle. But a teacher can come across, a prophetic teacher can come across a little straightforward, different than the pastor. So knowing him and knowing his heart, it's like, you want to pray? I'm like, sure. Well, you know, busy day. Let's meet here at 5:30 in the morning. I'm all about that. I'm not saying everybody should do that. But for me, that is a sign. If I have someone who wants to pray, wants to see God, and, you know, I've tried him. I've search his heart, and we've had some awesome discussion. And I say all this to say what? I'm thankful that you are here. You know, God brought you and Mary Ann in our midst. So yeah, he's got Robert Hammond Ministry. I think in a couple of months you're gonna be going to Africa to maybe you can talk about that a little bit. So he's a man in ministry already. You know, and yet the Lord brought him here. He's like, this is my church, you know, and I love it. He's back there serving behind the cameras. You know, he's ushering, you know, because it's like he's not after a microphone. him and Mary Ann knows this is where they need to be. And I'm like, well, this is where you, if you think this is where you need to be, plugged in, get to know the people. Because I believe every member here is a minister. And God, he wants to use your gift to equip the saint. Remember, I told you, I'm not here to protect the pulpit. This is Jesus' pulpit. I'm here to equip you for the work of the ministry. So, with all this, would you put your hands together to receive our brother? Come here, Robert. I won't give him a hug because he's all sore. Blessing, man.
Is it on? Okay. We are going back to Africa again. We have two Bible schools over there. We write all of the curriculum for the Bible schools. It's all edited for doctrine, historical accuracy, church history, all that. One of the things we're going to be doing when we go over there is we're going to be formally addressing the this year's graduates from both schools. We'll be doing that. We'll be conducting three ministers' conferences. One of them will be 50 ministers are coming. We'll be doing a three-day conference for that. We're paying for all of the hotels, all of the hotel rooms, and all of the food catered in for three full days. And then, of course, I have a full teaching schedule all over Kenya. So it'll be a good time. So we're very, very vested in Kenya, very vested. My first time there, I was there for 30 days, and we ministered 65 times in 30 days. One of the teachings was 7 hours long. Two of them were 5 hours, and all the other ones were those people, when they come, because some of them walk for 10, 15, 20 miles to get there with no shoes, carrying their Bibles inside of a plastic bag so because they know they're going to get rained on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can set your clocks to it, and they come to hear God's word. So praise the Lord. So your prayers will be appreciated for that trip to Africa. And let's get right into God's word. Knowledge is power, right? Einstein proved this with his equation that Oppenheimer took and ended World War II with, E equals MC squared. Energy is the equivalent of the speed of light squared. Oppenheimer and the Manhattan Project, they figured that out, and it ended the war in one day when we dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, respectively. So, the more knowledge we have of God's word, the more power we can have on the inside of us to live and to overcome. In Hosea 6, it says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That word perish means they fall behind. They lack. They don't live up to the full potential of what God wants us to live up to. Knowledge is power. Remember I shared a couple of months ago, the Bible does not say, Jesus did not say in John 8:32, that the truth will set you free. The truth will set no one free. Let that sink in. The truth will set no one free, because if that was the truth, everybody in the world would be free, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, the first part of that verse says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know, that you have a working knowledge of, that will set you free. That's why when somebody needs to be healed in their body of something, if they have a working knowledge that God wants them healed, and all of the scriptures, they can do that in their mind. And the mind is the doorway to the spirit. So when the mind gets it and it goes down into the spirit, illumination comes. The Bible says, in your light we see light. The entrance of your word, O Lord, brings light. Spiritual illumination. Spiritual understanding. We see this throughout the entire New Testament. When Jesus was ministering to people, when Paul was ministering to people, when Peter was ministering to people, they ministered the word, the light came on, faith came. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how faith comes. So today we're going to be talking about one of the cardinal doctrines of the church that was huge, that is still huge in different parts of the world, but for some reason in America, I've noticed over the last couple decades that this doctrine is waning and falling by the wayside. So today we're going to be talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So what does Jesus' mother, Jesus' brothers, all the writers of the New Testament, the 12 apostles, E.W. Kenyon, I'm just going to list a few here, John G. Lake, Maria Woodworth Eder, Charles Finney, Catherine Coleman, T.L. Osborne, Finest Dake, the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible, Amy Semple McPherson, Rick Renner, Lester Sumrall, Watchman Nee, Smith Wigglesworth, William Seymour, Jack Coe, Kenneth Hagin, John Alexander Dowie, Evan Roberts, Charles Parham, William Branham, A.A. Allen, John Macmillan, Michael Yeager, who's a friend of mine. I'll be ministering at his church here in a few months. He's written over 400 books. Gordon Lindsay, A.W. Pink, A.W. Tozier, Andrew Murray, Charles Capps, George Mueller, R.A. Torrey, H.A. Ironside, Howard Carter, Donald G., and F.F. Bosworth, just to name a few, men that changed the world, that books have been written about their lives, their living, their ministries. What do they all have in common? They were all, including, most people, they don't know this, including Billy Graham, who got baptized at 17 years old at a youth camp. Actually, it wasn't very far from here in South Carolina. They all were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to lay this foundation. The foundation of this doctrine is already in God's Word. But today I want to lay this doctrine in your mind. By using God's Word, we're going to lay this doctrine in your mind and heart so that you can see it in God's Word. So let's get started. Let's bring up that first verse of 1 Corinthians 12:5. Let's understand something here. Because what we need to see is that there is a difference between the gift of tongues and your prayer language of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. So let's look at these verses carefully. Let's start with verse 5 and notice something. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So what we see here is that we see that Jesus is the one who administers the gifts. And there are differences of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So we see that it is God who operates the gifts. So Jesus administers them and God operates them. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We're taking this somewhere. So we see that the Holy Spirit is the one who manifests them. So Jesus administers them, God the Father operates them, and the Holy Spirit manifests these gifts. There are 9 gifts listed here. 3 of them are utterance gifts, 3 of them are power gifts, and 3 of them are revelatory gifts. But these are gifts that follow the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to these 9 gifts of the Spirit. And this is where a lot of people, they get lost. If we look at verse 28 and 30, and they're always taking this out of context, it says here, verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. He is referencing the 9 gifts of the Spirit that we just spoke about in verses 7 through 9. And two of those gifts mentioned in those previous verses of 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9 are the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues. They are gifts. They are not, you need to see there is a dichotomy between them and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see this. We're going to see that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when they were all in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came and cloven tongues as a fire sat on all of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was a few verses later. That was their initial prayer language. It was a few verses later that the men that were listening to them could understand them because the gift of tongues was operating. John Sherrill, who used to be a famous writer and editor of Guidepost Magazine, it was a big Christian magazine when I first got saved, he went on a worldwide quest to disprove the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. He went on a worldwide quest all over the world to try to disprove it. Well, you know what happens when you play around a slippery creek bed? You're bound to fall in. He fell in. He left Guidepost Magazine based on his beliefs, and he wrote a book called They Shall Speak in Other Tongues. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit is very and very important. Matter of fact, it is a command. It says, be ye filled with the Spirit. Let's look at Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So God the Father was prophesying about this thousands of years ago, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. So several thousand years ago, God spoke about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He said, for with stammering lips will he speak. So I want you to see that God the Father is the first one that spoke about this in the Old Testament. Let's go to Luke 3:16. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Even though John was not able to experience this, he prophesied of what was to come, that Jesus would be the one that would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's go to the next verse, Luke 11, 11 through 13. That says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Let's go to the, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This is something that has to be sought. It has to be asked for. The Lord wants to give it to you. And at the end of the Gospel of John, it says that, let me just read it to you. I don't have this in my notes, but I think I wrote it down here. In John chapter 20, verse 22, it says that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Spirit. This was their legal initial salvation after the resurrection. I want you to see that. This was their initial, this was them getting saved. The Spirit came within. When all of us got saved, the Spirit came within. But when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes upon. There's a big difference between within and upon. Because Peter, in recounting what happened to Cornelius' household towards the end of Acts chapter 11, he said the Holy Spirit fell upon those who I was ministering to. The next verse, Mark 16:17, we all should know this. Jesus himself said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. This is what Jesus said. I remember when I got saved, I got saved under Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, Father's Day, June 21st, 1987. And immediately, and I was a heathen. I mean, I was living in deep, deep darkness. My wife met somebody that told her, and this was a pretty big guy. He said, had I met your husband when he was a heathen, I would have walked on the other side of the street to avoid walking past him on the sidewalk. That's how mean-spirited and violent and ugly of a person I was. Anyways, I got saved. And I began to read the New Testament. I began to read the entire Bible. And I would read these things about tongues. I'm like, what in the world is this? I knew that Jimmy Swaggart did it once in a while because on Sunday mornings, when I was watching his telecast, I would just hear him do it once in a while he was praying. And I was really interested in it. So the only thing I knew to do is get the phone book out, get the yellow pages out, go to churches. I knew that Jimmy Swaggart was an Assemblies of God. So I just went to churches, and very first thing there is Assemblies of God. I called the very first person, Steve Folks, who pastors a church in Kansas, who I'm very close friends with now, and have actually ministered in his church. I called him up and I said, brother, my name is Robert Hammond. Is this baptism in the Holy Spirit thing? Is this for me? Is this real? He goes, of course it is. I said, would you come here where I live and minister it to me and just, teach it to me some more? He said, sure. We set up a time. He came. We're sitting in the kitchen. And he ministered the same verses that I'm getting ready to minister to you. And he laid his hands on me, just like the book of Acts teaches, and nothing happened. And I remember I wept. I wanted it so bad, I wept. And he looked at me and he said, where's your faith? And I said, excuse me, brother? He goes, how did you get saved? And I quoted the verse to him, by grace are you saved through faith? He said, you got saved by believing, right? I said, yes, sir. He said, your problem is, Robert, you want to see it first and then you'll believe. That's how the world acts. Jesus, this is what he told me. He said, Jesus said, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. You've got it backwards, Robert. He said, when you get that figured out, you'll get baptized in the Holy Spirit. He looked at his watch and said, I'm late for an appointment. I got to go. Got up and left the kitchen on the spot. That fast. I mean, he was late for an appointment. It was just real gruff and short. And I remember sitting there and I looked up to heaven in the kitchen. And my kitchen had a door on it that swung closed automatically when you left, so the door was closed. And I looked up to heaven and I said, Lord, that brother's right. I said, I don't care if I don't ever speak with tongues. I absolutely believe that when he laid his hands on me, that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for it. It's mine. I receive it as a little child. I thank you for it. I know it's mine. I need it. And I just want to praise you right now that you did it when he laid his hands on me. Wiped the tears out of my eyes, got up to walk out of the kitchen, pushed the door open, and as soon as I walked through the threshold of the door, the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I spoke in other tongues for 3 solid hours. It just bubbled up out of me. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I mean, I couldn't even stop it. It literally just bubbled up out of me and just kept bubbling and bubbling for 3 solid hours. That's how I got filled. I believed that I received it. And then I got it. In Acts 1, 1 through 5, let's go there. Acts 1, 1 through 5. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So what is the gospel? Everything Jesus did and everything Jesus said. That is the gospel. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given the commandments under the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So now we know that this verse right here is tied to the verse that we saw earlier in Luke, where Jesus was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, there is one among you who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That is proof that Jesus was that John was talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself instructed them, stay, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high.
That's right.
Amen. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so here we have them, they're in the upper room, there's 120 of them present. I have a feeling that it started out with over 500, because it says that Jesus appeared to over 500 of them at once. But the parable of the seed and the sower, remember we talked about that once. It's the first parable in Matthew 13, first parable in Mark 4, first parable in Luke 8. It's so important that Jesus was talking about that parable everywhere he went. The seed and the sower, four types of soil, right? Hard-hearted, shallow-hearted, whole-hearted, and I forget what the other one is. But there's four types of soil. I got a feeling there was over 500 people in that room, but when the day of Pentecost came, 10 days later, there was only 120. I'd like to know what happened to the other 380. That saw him alive in Jerusalem during that time. Okay, next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we see what the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it gives you power. We look at Peter's life. We look at Peter's life before the baptism. And we see him following the Lord from afar. We see him say, putting his foot in his mouth three other times on stuff that he said to the Lord. We see him pulling out a sword and trying to cleave Malchus's head clean in two. And by the grace of God, only cut off his right ear that Jesus healed. We see him doing these different things. But Peter had a heart for the Lord. We saw him, I mean, don't discount the black sheep. He walked on water. When he saw the Lord at the end of the book of John and somebody said, it's the Lord that's on the beach. He jumped out of the boat, it says, and swam to shore. Look it up. It's 100 yards. The previous chapter said, and it was wintertime. It was ice cold water. He jumped in ice cold water and swam 100 yards to be with the Lord. He really did have a heart for the Lord. But after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the rest is history. We see, I mean, his very first short sermon. I forget how many verses it is. It's less than, I think it's 13 verses long. 3,000 people got saved. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit gives you. It gives you not only power to overcome, it gives you revelatory power. It takes the scriptures and opens up the scriptures so that you can see things you've never seen before, that you've never understood before, that you've never received before. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not only a command, it will absolutely change your life. I know what my life was like from before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I know what it's like after I got baptized. And they weren't even supposed to go into the world and change the world, these 12 young men, until they were endued with power from on high. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 18. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these are saved. These are saved people, but it said the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen upon them. Okay, next verse. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And we know from Simon, not Peter, but Simon, who's mentioned in this chapter later on, it said that he noticed that when he laid their hands on, when the apostles laid their hands on people, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, give me this power also. They tried to give them money to get that same power. We know what Peter said to him. You know, your heart is evil. You don't have any part, portion, lot, or inheritance in this matter. You know, your heart's not right with God. So what did Simon see that he was so interested in? He saw them speak with other tongues. That's what he saw. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 46. Then Peter opened his mouth. So here he is. Peter was actually at Joppa earlier in this chapter. He was at Joppa, and while they were preparing a meal, he went up on the roof to pray. While he was praying, he fell into a trance. And in this trance, he saw this sheet come down, and in this sheet was all these unclean animals that the Jewish people were not supposed to eat. And God spoke to him, said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, no unclean thing has ever touched my lips. This happened three times. As Peter's pondering the vision, the people that Cornelius sent a day earlier to come and find Peter, that was at Simon the Tanner's house, found him. And as he's ministering to them, go ahead and put this verse up again. As he's ministering to them at Cornelius' house, he realized that the vision that he had was respecting the Gentiles. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God has sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spoke these words, what words? The words of the gospel of Jesus being crucified, dying for people's sins, and arising again. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. How do we know the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word? And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So the people that were with Peter, traveling with him, they were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. That's how they knew they had been filled with the baptism and the Holy Ghost. That is the initial proof of it, is they heard them speak with other tongues. That is very, very important. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to Acts 19, 1 through 6. Let's set the scenario here. Paul is walking to Ephesus. While he's walking there, he meets 12 brothers. And he just begins to talk to them about one thing. Notice the very first thing out of his mouth. As soon as he realized that they were brothers, the very first thing he said to them, he didn't say, hey, what are you learning about, you know, in the Old Testament? What is God speaking to you about? How is your living behind closed doors before the Lord? Are you ministering to people? Are you taking care of the widows? No. Very first thing he said to them was, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It was that important to Paul that the very first thing he says to them is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we haven't even heard whether there be any such thing as the Holy Ghost. What are you talking about, Paul? And Paul said, well, then what were you baptized with? And they said, under John's baptism 30 years earlier. This is 30 years later after John died. Some say 32, but I from my personal studies, I think it's 30. Anyways, it's 30 years later. Very first thing he says to them is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, no. Let's go on. Then said Paul, John verily baptized the baptism of repentance in water, right, in the Jordan River, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were only baptized under a baptism of repentance under John the Baptist in the river. Now they were baptized in water under the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. How do we know the Holy Ghost came on them? And they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. That's how we know the Holy Ghost came on them. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? We see that when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, they spoke in other tongues. We see it in Acts chapter 8. We see it in Acts chapter 10. We see it in Acts chapter 19. It's all throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. When you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're speaking unto God, and you're speaking mysteries. Let's look at verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Let's look at verse 5. I would that you all spoke with tongues. This is what Paul the Apostle, that wrote 13 books of the New Testament, said. Wrote one half of the New Testament. This is what he said. I wish that you all spoke with tongues. He's writing to a church with 10,000 members. They rented out the Colosseum. The Corinthian church was 10,000 members strong. He's saying this to 10,000 people. Let's go to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when I pray in other tongues, when I'm by myself, it's my spirit that is praying. My spirit is praying, not my natural mind. Yes, I pray in English, but also pray in other tongues. Paul Yonggi Cho, who at one time pastored the world's largest church, over 1 million members, he prayed for 5 hours every single day. He said he must pray. When he came to America, he said, I got to pray 7 hours a day because of all the devils that you guys have here. He said in Seoul, South Korea, we got rid of the devils long ago. He said he spent 4 hours of his 5-hour prayer time in other tongues. Brother Hagin prayed for 3 hours every night from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. He said he spent 90% of his prayer time praying in other tongues. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So you pray both. You pray in English, because we live in America. You pray in English, and you pray in other tongues. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Can you imagine how much Paul would have had to have been speaking in other tongues? Everywhere he went, everywhere he walked, throughout the night when he woke up. I mean, he's writing to a church of 10,000 people, and he wouldn't be saying this by the Spirit if it wasn't true. He's saying, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you together. He was constantly, he saw the need for this. He saw the purpose of it. He saw the edification of it. He saw the power of it. He saw the life-changing power of it. Verse 21, same chapter. In the law it is written, Now, this is taking us back to the very first verse that we saw in Isaiah 28. With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. So we can see that Paul is proving at the very first verse that we showed out of Isaiah that God was definitely talking about speaking in other tongues, because Paul says it right here in this verse. Paul is saying that is what God was talking about clear back there in Acts 28. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we see here, and this Greek word means to be being filled, a continual being filled, but be filled with the Spirit. This is not a suggestion, church. This is a command. This is a command. Now, who does God give the Holy Spirit to? Let's look in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. I've ministered to a lot of people in the last 35 years concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I was at a church in Africa, and it had a school in it, and they shut the school down and asked everybody in the school to come to the meeting. I had a message. This was in 2012. I had a message already ready to go in my heart about Romans 12, 1 and 2, about being transformed and what that looks like and the characteristics of it. And this New Testament right here, this very New Testament, I grabbed it off the chair next to me, stood up to walk to the pulpit, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I thought I was in a Spirit-filled church. I said, Lord, I'm in a Spirit-filled church. He said, I want you to teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I did a teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And at the end, I had an altar call. Every last single minister, every last single teacher, and every last single student in that entire school came forward. Over 150 people. And I prayed for 45 minutes. I laid hands on every single person. And to the best of my knowledge, I think only three did not receive. What keeps people from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. What does this obedience look like? How are you living behind closed doors? How is your living? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your children? How do you treat the things of God? Are you reverently with the things of God? Do you walk carefully with the things of God? Are these godly things precious to you? He gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. The Brethren movement is one of the most powerful. Sorry, I love church history, and I could talk about it all the time. The Brethren movement is the most powerful movement that the United States has, technically the world, has ever seen. Just look up the Brethren movement. C.H. McIntosh, he wrote Notes on the Pentateuch, came out of the Brethren movement. John Darby. All these men, they all had one thing in common. They, to this day, they say the deepest theological books ever written since the times of the apostles were written during the Brethren movement. What did they all have in common? Every last single one of them was baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking of the tongues. Look at the second greatest revival that ever came to America. The first was under Charles Finney. The second was the Azusa Street Revival in California. What did that revival have in common that made the front pages of the papers all around the world? They all believed and they taught the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Guys, this is the cardinal doctrine. This is like the doctrine of initial salvation. This is like the doctrine of the atonement. the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, him dying on the cross. This is like the doctrine of the resurrection. This is like the doctrine of the ascension. This is like the doctrine of holy living. This is like the doctrine of going out to the world and ministering to the people. It is a staple item, just like when you go to the store, you expect to find milk, bread, and butter there, right? It's a staple item at Harris Teeter. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a staple item in the church. And why there are not more people talking about this, I think the devil has come and done something because he knows what power the Holy Spirit gives to those who believe and those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The men that shook the world, these 12 young men that shook the world, and all the people that I listed there that books have been written out of, it can't be a coincidence that they all had the same thing in common. It can't be a coincidence. So guys, I just encourage you, my time's up. I just encourage you to think about this message. If anybody wants notes of the verses, you can get with me or the lady back there. Brother Hagen, who is a minister I highly respect, and I used to go to his minister's conferences. He wrote a book many years ago called Why Tongues. And I'm just going to leave them up here. If anybody wants more information on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, feel free to come up and grab one. If you have a friend that you want to give this book to, feel free to come up and grab one or two. We got these for you guys as a reference, as a help for you guys. Father, we thank you for the word that went forth today. I just ask that it takes deep root and take seat in their minds, Lord, and that if there is anybody here today that is not filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit upon them,
yes, Holy Spirit,
that they would see the truth of this, that they would seek this, that they would desire it, Jesus, that they would ask you for it,
yes,
and that you
Lord.
Will give it to them if they are living
Thank
right,
you, Father.
If they are obeying you,
Thank
that you,
you Lord.
Will give it to them and their lives will be changed.
That's right.
Lord, we thank you for this, and we thank you for your word that has gone forth and it will not return to you.
That's right.
It won't return to you void. It will accomplish that word until you have sent it.
Yes.
So we thank you for watching over your word to perform it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, give Jesus a round of applause. And we will come back to this, but you know what? Once again, there it is. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And if you haven't, let's do something practical. If you want, let's say you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you just want a fresh outpouring. The enemy is shut. It's like what we're talking about here, the Holy Spirit. The enemy, he doesn't want us to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want that. Church is dead without the Holy Spirit. Our life is dead. We struggle to live in victory. So if that's something we don't have, it's not like we have the Holy Spirit to give you. The only thing you're gonna do, I want you to step forward as an act of obedience. Because you want the next step for your life. Don't you? That's what I want for our church. Listen, if our church doesn't have that, I'm going to go plumbing full time. I have this conversation with Jesus all the time. I'm like, if I can't live a life under the influence with the Holy Spirit all the time, I'm going to go plumbing full time. Because, you know, it's so satisfying. We need the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the cross, resurrection. But some of you, you're stuck right there. You know it. Your life, you're just stuck right there. You can't move forward. You're going up and down. The worries of life, troubles, whatever it is. The problem is, you need a breakthrough. And the only thing that can bring that breakthrough in your life is the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't want it for you. We can only teach you, to show you by the word. Guys, we have nothing without the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling to obey, if you're remaining in your past hurt, that's what I don't understand sometimes. You know, church hurts you. So what? They crucified Jesus on the cross. Yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, he said, Father, they don't get it. So I'm going to sing this song. But I want to give you guys an opportunity. And I'm going to ask Mary Ann and Robert to make themselves available. If you just want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just step forward and let us lay hands on you in obedience and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's sing that. Holy Spirit. Yeah, come on, give a response to the Lord today. Korabasita karamango babrata tatarabasita. Hey, let's stand. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend, how we need your touch again. If you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and able to pray in tongue, I want everybody to lift up your voice. You know, I say one of the things that I have made a decision before the Lord this Easter season. I pray that the Lord will unleash the gifts of the Spirit in our midst. We are a Spirit-filled church, so therefore, the manifestation of the Spirit, I want to see them at work here. Hallelujah. Oh yes, Holy Spirit, reign in this place. Reign in this place. Reign in this place, Lord. It is your heart we are after. We are dead without you. The church is dead without you. There's no life without you. There's no victory without you. There's no power without you. Oh, Holy Spirit, reign now. Reign down. There's no healing. There's no victory. There's no, we can't even be your witness without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't even talk to people about Christ without the Holy Spirit, Lord. Our life is dead without the Holy Spirit. Fall fresh on us today, Lord. Fall on every soul as we obey, as we stand on your word. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reign. Reign down. Let your power fall. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down.
I just thought of this verse, something Jesus said in John chapter 7. The Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." Listen to this. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. If you're still questioning whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is for you, the number one thing you need to do is want his will, is desire God's will. Whether it's silly to you, whether you've seen fanaticism and you've been turned off. I know so many people like that, that if they've been turned off of anything dealing with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you want God's will? Do you want his will? Then, as Jesus said, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. If you want to do God's will, sincerely want it, you will know if this is for you or not. You'll know. And that's what I encourage everybody to look in your heart, look deep in your heart. Do I really want what God wants for you?
Father, as for me in this church, we want your will. Can you agree with me? As for me, you can say it. As for me in my church, we want your will, Lord. Come on, pray this with me as one accord. As for me in this church, we want your will, Lord. We want the fullness of you. Everything we have, everything you have, Lord, we want it, Lord. I want it. Father, let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Even some of the things that, you know, because I know sometimes the unbelief, or like Mary Ann said, the way people misrepresented or misuse, abuse the gifts can turn people off. But we want what you have for us. And what you have for us, what you want for us, is that we live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. So Father, as we go forth from here, thank you for your word today. I pray as we step out these doors, we move about our activities, that the power of the Holy Spirit would overshadow us. May we be known as people of the kingdom. Father, I pray that through the blood of Jesus, we would continue to experience grace and peace in the Holy Spirit. And God's children says, amen. Well, go in his victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.